All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Yeah, I wasn't planning to put out an episode at the moment. There's a few recorded that I'm going to be editing and getting out to you shortly, but we had big news. Alan White turned up on Instagram yesterday. Doing a couple of songs, drumming along to All Around the World and to Wonderwall. First time we've seen him for years, and so yeah, very exciting, very interesting. And he talked about the fact in his comment that it was for NHS, supporting NHS workers. And then a couple of hours ago this afternoon, Liam Gallagher has announced he's doing a gig for NHS workers in October. Are these things a coincidence? Just trying to figure that out at the moment. Don't know. But yeah, it will be very interesting to see. Great of Liam to do this NHS gig. And if Alan White is involved, that is huge. It'd be great for Tony to be involved as well, and Bonehead. And then do we then call it Oasis? No, it is listed as a Liam Gallagher gig. It just says plus special guest. So I don't know if it'll end up being like Richard Ashcroft or people like that coming in as special guests. But we shall see. Anyway, yesterday when the Alan news dropped, I jumped on Zoom and recorded a quick interview with a few people that were around online, who you'll hear from here, Elliot and Matt and Richard and Mike and briefly a chap called Peter. So you'll hear from them in a bit. I was just going to put this out on Patreon, but as you guys haven't got much to do, I thought you might enjoy it. And also, if you're excited right now, but actually, who have you got to talk to about this stuff? So, well, you can hear me and some other Mad Oasis fans talking about it. And you get a bit of behind-the-scenes stuff about the Mike Bruce episode. And we also talk about what might be good fun to do when we finish this, when we come back and do some sort of event once we can get back into the real world. But anyway, hope you guys enjoy it. A couple of other episodes will be coming to you very shortly. And if you like this kind of phone-in format, then please let me know and I'll do more of them. And if you'd like to be involved in one, then just do make sure you're following me on Twitter. And the likelihood is would be about 10:30 in the evening. That sort of timing tends to work well for me. Anyway, without any further ado, let's pass over to me talking to the guys last night for the first ever Oasis Podcast phone.
Oasis Podcast, 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 Oasis
Podcast. All right, welcome to the Oasis Podcast phone-in episode. so we had a false start, because I thought I'll just fire out the Zoom login on Twitter and then anyone can just jump in. And then a bunch of kids jumped in and started throwing porn up on the thing. So I just assumed that the good people of the internet were, you know, generally good and kind and sensible. But no, turns out that obviously if you put a Zoom login on Twitter, that people will just jump in and throw porn on the meeting. So There we go. So
can,
we have to report
can we still go back to that one instead then?
No, unfortunately not. So yeah, just introduce, we've got Mike D'Souza. How you doing, Mike?
You all right? How's it going?
Yeah, good. Good, thank you. Now, you took photos, didn't you, at the live event?
Yeah, the one at Water Acts with Tony McCall.
Yes, yeah, and they were brilliant. They were fantastic photos. Tony still... Yeah, Tony often, whenever he's posting stuff on Instagram, he's always posting those photos.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Yeah, so that's really cool. And we got Richard, the author. I still haven't got my book. What the hell's going on?
Well, I blame COVID, blame the post, blame all around. I don't know. I was just saying, like, I don't know in what order they're sending them. Like, I've got people that had orders like copies like 2 and 3 who haven't got theirs, but then some random people who further down the line have. Don't know. Out of my hands, I'm afraid.
All right, fair enough. Well, I've seen some brilliant reviews so far from the fans and things. People are absolutely loving it so far. Yeah, some very, very kind things said about it, which is, must be nice for you to get that sort of feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's really positive. It's weird knowing that people are reading it now, but yeah, seeing things like that, and you know, being in the top 10 Amazon Hot Music books for a few minutes was, you know, or might still be in there, I don't know. But yes, yeah, all very exciting. It's good.
Yeah, no, it is good. Right, we're going to. I think a couple of other people are going to jump in as well, but we'll just get going. Well, first, before we get onto the Alan White of it. How cool has it been seeing these Andy Bell videos? So just to give you a bit of background, I've been in touch with Andy Bell's management on and off for like 3 years. Well, not 3 years, no, 2 years, to try and get him to do it. And we almost got him once to do an interview. They actually said, like, well, he's ready to go right now. And I went, okay. And I legged it out. I was at work. I legged it out to the car park, quickly grabbed my recording device. And then they said, oh, no, actually, Andy, if he's going to do this, he really wants to do it properly and do it justice and, like, do his research and stuff. So, no, forget it. We'll get back in touch. And then it's been like, but it's always been very clear. Look, he's doing Ride now. He wants to talk about Ride. That's his main thing. And he's not really into talking about Oasis at the moment. So, you know, I was like, well, yeah, fair enough. I'll happily talk about Ride. I just want to interview the guy. It would just be brilliant. And I sort of think he's kind of stepped away from the Oasis stuff, and you never hear him talk about Oasis. Yet now it's like he's playing Oasis songs. You know, he's recording himself playing Oasis songs. It's just, I love it. I love seeing him playing those songs. It's been great. What do you reckon, Mike?
Well, it's unrelated, but a few years ago, I went to go and see BDI at the Hammersmith Apollo.
Oh, yeah.
And I picked up a mate, and we drove up there in the end, and I parked on a back street. And as I was walking down there, this elderly couple came up to me. Basically elderly, you know, sort of much, much, much older than us, and quite posh. And they stopped me, and they said, excuse me, do you know where the Hammersmith Apollo is? And I said, yeah, it's just down here. I'm actually going. Are you going tonight? Yeah, we're going tonight. And I thought, all right, maybe they got the wrong night if it's a BDI sort of gig. And they go, yeah, our son's playing. It's like, all right, who's your son? And went, oh, Andy Bell.
Oh, like, cool.
Oh, right, cool. So I had to take them in and show them there. And I think they obviously got backstage passes. So I tweeted Andy. I was like, I've just seen your parents in. Any chance I could get in? Nothing.
No, he didn't come back to you?
No, because he's Oxford, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, he grew up in Oxford. Yeah, he grew up in Oxford, and I've tried that as a tack to get him on. Hello to Matthew and Elliot, just joined. Yeah, we're just saying about Andy Bell, about the new Andy Bell tracks. You know, him doing that stuff on Twitter. Sorry, on Instagram. It's just been fantastic. Like, you know, to hear him playing those songs again. You know, it's just great. Yeah, we love Ride, but there's something really special about Andy playing those Oasis songs. You reckon, Matthew, as you're on the left?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, just the situation we're in is so strange, and when we get little gems like Andy Bell and tonight the drums from Alan White, it just I don't know if it makes it the situation stranger or if it just makes it just gives you that lift, you know. I just want to go outside and clap for them at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, everyone clap for the ex-Oasis members, here we go.
Yeah,
no, it is brilliant. And Elliot, do you think this is part of a hello mate, by the way,
hey,
do you think this is part of something bigger? Do you, like one of my mates was messaging me earlier, this is it, this is the first step, the reunion's happening, and you know, this is it, we've got Andy Bell playing these songs, we've got Alan White playing these songs now. What do you reckon?
Oh, I don't know, buddy. So much bad blood still, isn't there, between the big boys at the top. I mean, I don't know if you saw that Sarah Gallagher Vogue interview the other day. I'm sure you'll talk about it. It's just excruciating. So around the peripheries, maybe, and fingers crossed, because we'd all love it, wouldn't we, in Hertfordshire next summer or something. But
yeah, that would be bad. That wouldn't be bad, would it? 25th of Nebworth would be pretty good. But
it's interesting though, because Liam's always said that if there was a reunion, that it would include Bonehead 100%.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see where Bonehead and Andy Bell would actually, if they would ever be in band together.
Yeah, I think, I mean, in reality, I don't think it's going to happen. But I think if you know, I don't think that would be a stumbling block. I think it would be a case of like Bonehead now with Liam solo band, that he'll come on, he'll do a few tracks, he'll go off again if they're doing the later ones or whatever. I think it would just be an on and off sort of situation. But Richard, what did you think of the Alan White coming back? It was what was your initial reaction?
Oh, amazing! Obviously, I kind of looked at the video first, and I was like, "Is this old? Does this look like?" I mean, I looked at him and was like, "Oh no, that's very much how he, like, when we last saw a photograph of him, whenever that was, like, a couple of years ago. But it looks like him now. I mean, yeah, it's amazing. It's like, you know, doing it to draw up support for the NHS and all that sort of stuff." Interestingly, you know, Liam is still making noises saying there's going to be some sort of gig under the Oasis name. I think we can safely assume that's not going to include Noel, as was said after the Sarah interview, and just generally. In fact, I don't know about Andy, but we can take it as read that Bonehead would be in there. You would think they might go for Tony, but whether this is actually later, I don't know. But just as a step and as excitement of Oasis fandom, that Alan White's putting his head above the parapet, you know, it's amazing. It's really good, positive thing to see.
Yeah, and for me, like, I didn't have a clue. I wasn't on Twitter. It's one of the rare times I'm not staring at Twitter. And I got a message off of Dan Best, who was going to join, but his laptop's just broke, saying, "Mate, you've just been, what, you know, have you seen this?" I'm like, "No, what are you on about?" It's like, you were tagged by Steve White. I was like, oh, cool. I was actually tagged by Steve White in the book, you know, and that sort of, that was cool. But first off, like Alan White, I don't know what skin cream he's using or whatever, but he looks great for his age. I mean, bloody hell. I can't think how old he'd be off the top of my head, but he'd be what? Late 40s, early 50s. And, you know, he looks great and he could obviously still play. You know, it's just so nice. We haven't seen him behind the kit literally since 2005.
His last gig was early 2003. It was actually the rescheduled Germany gigs after Liam got his teeth knocked out. That was the rescheduled gigs for that. That was the last. Yeah, that was the last time he played with the band.
All right, mate. Stop showing off your Oasis knowledge.
Wow.
What, are you going to go and write a book about Oasis or something?
Actually forgot to include that in the book as well.
Well, Mike, what did you think? What was your initial reaction to the video?
I haven't seen it. The first I heard about it was when I saw your tweet about this, and I was like, what, that massive news, a Zoom call? And then actually the funny thing was, I did check them out on Instagram just now and saw the thumbnails, and I just assumed they were just old clips. I didn't think it was new stuff, so I'm gonna have to have a look at that when I finish this.
Yeah, it's very cool. I just to let you know, I've messaged Steve, and he's, whether or not he's just being coy with me, he basically said, what I've said to him was, is this part of a bigger plan? I've just messaged him. If he wanted to do an interview, we could do it as a paid download, all proceeds to the charity of his choice, which I think would be quite a cool idea. And Steve just came back and said, like, no idea, sir. So, okay, cool. And I have messaged Alan White official on Instagram, and just refreshing, and no, there's no mess, there's nothing back. So, you know, whether it is just part of this NHS Million thing, like raising awareness for NHS Million, probably just that. He is following Liam Gallagher, I've noticed that, so could be something else, but I don't know. What do you reckon, Matt? What would you what would you like to come out of this?
The Nebworth gang doing something.
Yeah.
And when I saw it on Twitter, I went straight to Instagram and watched it, and the hairs went up on my neck and arms. It's just that he's, for me, Alan White, he was the drummer of Oasis, you know.
Yeah.
Much credit to Tony, and I loved, you know, and your work with Tony James has been exceptional, and it's been brilliant. But for me, the Nebworth gang are Oasis, and just to see him play, just to listen to the Wonderwall drums, just got me. And if it sparks something bigger, then yeah, I can't wait. If it's not, then that'll do me. Then
yeah,
it's just amazing. He's the one that's been, you know, you've touched on all the other members. You can stay in touch with Bonehead's page on Twitter, and you know he's been doing things with Liam and Gwigsy with Mary. You're sort of in there with his sister, and so you kind of know about them. But Alan's been, you know, you Google him, you get nothing. So to see him do that was took me back to 1996, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I think the only thing we had is literally, I think it was like a few months ago where he did a, there was a couple of pictures for an Instagram shirt company or something. And that, yeah, it was literally the first picture we'd seen of him for years. Yeah, and then as saying the Gwigs thing, you know, yeah, Mary's very active on social media and she's lovely. But, you know, she's always just like, yep, yep. But her sort of stock answer is whenever anyone asks is no, like we never expected Paul would ever get on a stage in the first place. We were completely shocked that he ever did that. So that's the thing, as far as he's just not the sort of bloke that would ever get on a stage. And so, you know, he did and the band he joined got lucky, but it's just not him. So why would he do it again? But yeah, oh God, I don't know.
That's it. Oh God. That's it. We seem to be like on, we could be on the edge. You could be on the edge of something now that strange world, strange things could happen.
Has anyone here heard the latest episode yet with Mike Bruce that I did? Have Mike hasn't. Elliot,
no.
Have you heard it, Elliot?
I did. Yeah, it was what a tale of two halves, wasn't it? The first interview is really downbeat, and then you listen to the old one from 2 years ago, and he's so engaged, and it sounded all in front of him. So, yeah, it just really felt really bad for him. What an unfortunate situation.
Mike Bruce, we did an interview like 2 years ago when the video for If Love Is the Law came out, and it was supposed to be part of this bigger film, and it never happened. And I did an interview with Mike at the time, and it was supposed to come out, and then they basically, I'd said to Mike, well, you've given me some insider stuff here that I don't know if Ignition would be very happy with you releasing. Do you want to just double check with them that they're okay with me putting that stuff out? And he contacted them, and Ignition basically said, no, we don't want you doing interviews with the Oasis podcast. And so it was like, oh, right, okay. So we briefly, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but we briefly talked, me and Mike, about doing this under a different name. And I actually started up like a channel called Sonic Visions. And it was going to be like, it was going to become like a podcast about music videos and like interviewing different music videos director, basically just to get this podcast out. But if we can't do it under the Oasis podcast name, we'll do it under a different name. But then that once again, he kind of went a bit cold on that as well. So we were like, okay, fine. It's just going to sit on the shelf for a few weeks. And then it just never happened. And then, I mean, the big question is, like, why don't they want to put it out? I mean, by the sounds of it, they were just like, they'd moved on. They'd finished Who Built the Moon. And I mean, I did think it was weird at the time when, you know, they'd already had videos for Fort Knox and She Taught Me How to Fly. And then it's like, If Love Is the Law is like basically the last single, and there's a video for it. It's like 3 out of 7. It's like, sorry, 5 out of 7. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. Why you do it? Surely if you're going to do it, you do it like from the first video. So it just felt a bit weird. But yeah, I mean, Richard, what did you think? What did you think about all that?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been alluded to earlier on today, isn't it? It's on Twitter. It's the latest in the long line of Noel not coming out very well of certain professional situations. It's having listened to both interviews, I just think it's odd, really, the fact that, you know, granted we've only heard one side of the story, but it seems that you know, after taking Mike to the Brit Awards and stuff like that and being relatively pally with him, and then just completely ghosted him. I think, I mean, if they didn't want the project to come out, that's fine. But I think to not come back to him and tell him that's the thing I don't get. If they're not interested in the project anymore, fine. But to just completely ignore him is well, it's quite snidey, isn't it? To be fair, and it's quite underhand. But as we said on Twitter earlier on, there's been quite a few people where it's happened like this. Amorphous Androgynous and Noel had a couple of bit of a spat a couple of years ago when they were interviewed, and they said they didn't think he was ambitious enough or not ambitious enough. They thought it was too weird for him or something like that.
Right.
Despite Noel saying how big it was, you know, obviously his strained relations with everyone else in the band. Alan White following Liam but not Noel tonight on Instagram, possibly being a perfect example. Yeah. You know, it's he's quite ruthless, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is just the latest example of it. And yeah, shame for Mike.
Yeah. So I'm just letting someone else in. Let's hope they don't spam us with porn, hopefully.
One thing I was going to say, James, just to go back a couple of steps, one thing that's potentially quite interesting is that noticed here in Bristol, Noel was supposed to be playing here 3 days before Glastonbury, probably assuming as a warm-up gig.
Yeah.
That was part of a series of dates that like Supergrass were doing and Reef were playing as well. They've all been postponed to next year, and all of the gigs, the organiser said, we're trying to reschedule all of them. Sadly, Noel Gallagher is not going to be rescheduled.
Okay.
Maybe he's busy next summer. Who knows?
Oh.
Throw that bomb in there.
Throw that one in there.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
It's like Rolling Stones sort of territory, you know, where the machine almost becomes bigger than the artist, you know, and the lawyers and the this and that are all, it just becomes too big for what we want, you know. It's not rock and roll, it's rock and roll and lawyers that seem to be driving it all.
It's always going to be that, unless you just get a situation where it's like, you know, like the old Spinal Tap ending where, you know, Liam's doing a gig and then Noel walks on at the side, like, come on then, and then he just wanders on, you know. But you know, I don't think that's likely. But yeah, it is a bizarre world. Who have we got there? Peter Bennett.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm okay, man. How you doing?
I'm all right. Where are you from?
Glasgow. Yeah.
And how are things up there? Are you
Sorry, I clearly not quite mastered the whole video thing.
That's all right. As long as you don't spam us with porn, then we're okay.
No. We've been under that. Oh, John Schreier experience on Twitter.
Oh, hello, mate. How you doing?
Oh, not bad, man.
Good. So, what did you think of the Alan White thing this evening?
It's certainly interesting. I'm not sure. Sorry, I've got my son talking to me here. I'm in the middle of doing something.
Hey, what
are you doing? I'm involved. Sorry.
Don't worry, mate. You're just on one of the leading UK music podcasts. It's fine.
I'm very sorry about that. I was just stick my nose in to see what it was about, and clearly unprepared.
Fully unprepared. That's fine. Don't worry. All right, we're going to jump over to Mike. Mike, how's the band going anyway? It's Supersonics, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's going really well. So we are an Oasis covers band. We're not. We don't really call ourselves a tribute band because none of us act like the rest of the band. Our singer actually plays the guitar as well, so it's not like an exact Liam alike. Right. It's going really well. So we've been playing together for about 2 years. I think this year we've got a lot. Well, we had a lot of gigs booked in. It was all about kind of getting together and having a bit of fun, making some new friends, but also for me, playing the guitar to songs that I know anyway. I don't need to practice them. And we do things slightly differently to other tribute bands because we try to play tracks off the record, like the recorded version rather than the live version. So if you look at most of the other Oasis tribute bands out there, like they're really good, but they do the live show, whereas we are kind of dropping in samples or keeping the guitars a bit more low volume and kind of doing the tracks like they were on the record, which is quite an interesting way of doing things. So we play a lot of acoustic guitars in there. We play Live Forever with acoustic guitar instead of being in your face. It's kind of nice and chilled. But it's a really good project. Nice. But the supersonics.co.uk.
Yeah, because you messaged me, didn't you? I think you had like a residency or something, like not too far away in like Basingstoke area or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that was like a block booking for the year. I mean, I don't know where you can go after a residency in Basingstoke, but unfortunately that was taken away from us this year. That's how we're rolling at the moment.
All right, fair enough. Just but to let you know,
some of the ones later on in the year will go ahead. I think we were booked in May, June, July, so hopefully July we think will go ahead.
Okay. All right. But, we were doing, like, for the book launch, we were supposed to be doing a you know, the plan was to do like four or five shows around the country, and to sort of book venues. And thankfully I didn't book any venues because I would have lost a few deposits. But yeah, whether it was going to be another like get Tony and McGee out, or I've even talked to like Digsy about doing something, and like maybe the Real People about doing something, or like Alex Lipinski, who was Bonehead's mate, who I did the episode with, Jess Greenfield, you know. So we were talking about doing like stuff like that around the country, and then basically to help Richard flog a few books, because you know he's on hard times. It's hard for all of us right now. Yeah, obviously that's all cancelled, so it's annoying. But like I was saying, I think when we get back, and this is sort of the final topic I was going to cover because we're running out of time, got 8 minutes left, because I haven't upgraded to Pro. When we come back, we're going to put on the biggest show. I'm going to do a massive show somewhere and try and get Tony and McGee and maybe even bloody Alan White. You know what I mean? If we could get Alan, or if we could get Bonehead, or if we could get like any of them, you know. The one thing I wanted to do really that we could never put together, but would be like a proper like Oasis weekend, and sort of similar to, not as big as like Shine On or something like that, but just like a couple of rooms in a hotel maybe. So have tribute bands, have original bands, have like Digsy play, have, you know, like various people that are connected to them. But if you guys could, for a live event for the podcast, that what would you like to see? We should go around, Mike. What do you reckon?
Well, you know, obviously I'm involved in another podcast with Richard and the Beatles. Yes. Sort of thing. So the Beatles have always had this massive thing called Beatle Fest, which yeah. I've not been to. I think it's in Chicago. But it's been going for like 40 years now. And they're just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And there's nothing like that for Oasis. They're a bit sort of more conference centre than a pub or a hotel. But that's a really interesting thing. If you could get together with people like all the different exhibitions that are going on.
Yeah, Cannon. Get Cannon down.
People like that. But when they're all happening, they all seem to happen separately. But if you can kind of amalgamate them with some podcast, with some graphics, with some photography exhibitions, it'd be great.
That would be a good shout. What do you reckon, Richard? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think you've got to touch on something there. Maybe kind of a bit more of a weekend thing of it. And you could speak to McGee, you know, and see, like, maybe get the Clockworks involved, and some of the bands on Creation 23 as well, and have the kind of ostensibly, kind of an Oasis thing, but a convention, if that's not too dirty a word, but yeah, kind of a big amalgamated thing. But that's actually quite a good shout. I think you'd, with a bigger venue, I don't think, with enough people interested, I think you'd have any problem selling out. It's a good shout. I like it. Get big.
What do you reckon, Elliot? What do you think? What would you like to see from that sort of thing?
Well, I think you're going to have, after all this virus stuff, the biggest case of a party that, you know, we've seen for ages. I was at the Water Rats, and it was absolutely quality to get the moment when McCarroll started playing Supersonic. I mean, you were on the stage, I was in the crowd, and people were going nuts around me. So anything like that would be very well received, James. So we're behind you.
Yeah, I'll get Alan White to play Wonderwall, and I'll sing along to that one as well.
Yeah.
And Matt, what do you reckon? Close us out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to Monmouth in September, October.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's just down the road. I'm only in the Forest of Dean, so not far from Bristol.
Really? Cool. Okay.
But yeah, something like I don't know, a big convention where you can go and see Brian Cannon's thing. I'd love to go to reshoot the Definitely Maybe cover, setup, and then interviews, podcasts, and you know, tribute bands and cover bands would be great. A great night out, a great weekend, whatever you can do, I'm sure I'll be there.
Yeah, just need to raise a few £1,000, I think. That's the only problem. Because that's the thing, I think, when people have said about these live shows, because obviously we pay, you know, you've got to pay McGee, you've got to pay McCarroll. This isn't free. And, if you think you're selling, like, for a live podcast, you're not going to sell more than like 200. You know, it's just not going to be more than that. And the Water Rats in Glasgow have both been about 150 to 200. And so, if you just do the maths on it, right, well, by the time you've got venue fees and everything else, you know, you are lucky to break even. If you you know, you really need to sell out everything at like 15 quid a ticket to break even, so something like that. So when people say, oh, you should get like Cannon, McGee and whoever, it's like, yeah, but we'd have to sell like, it would be like 50 quid a ticket, or it would be you know, or you'd have to get like 500 people, so it's very hard. But I think, so that's where I think investors would be needed, really, because then you'd need to like book a proper venue and really make a big deal out of it. And if you're doing it over a weekend, like a Mods May Day, like I've been to a few Mods May Days in my time, and that sort of thing, that you can book a hotel every weekend, I think it would be absolutely amazing. Like I haven't got the ability to do it. But sorry, go on, Richard, what are you going to say?
I was going to say, thinking about going back to what's happening with Alan earlier on, could we not make it like a charity NHS event thing? And maybe that might dissuade people from charging big fees.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to make money out of it. That's the thing. I'm not interested in making money. I just don't want to be in the loo. I just don't want to potentially be in the hole for thousands. That's the problem. So, yeah, interesting.
Has anyone ever heard of a guy called Mark Lewison?
Yeah, the Beatles guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a Beatles sort of biographer. He's just finished a tour called Hornsey Road.
Yeah, the Abbey Road book, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a really, really good, amazing show we went to go and see, and he was touring around the whole of the UK doing like quite large theatres, and he was getting 1,000 people every night.
Which
was a massive surprise, but it was almost touring on the back of a book, which is an interesting thing, because people like Richard is going to write the only book really that's out there. Whether you could tie something in with that, a Q&A, because Richard might be cheaper than some, and like have the knowledge still, but
no, he's outrageous. Yeah. Are you saying you are the Mark Lewison of Oasis, Richard? Is that what you are?
Not my words, the words of Mike Souza. The 8th of April 2020.
All right, well, look, we're going to call it there, but thank you very much, guys. It's been very good fun. I hope it's recorded. If it has, it will be going out. What an amazing day. A day when Alan White made his return. Any, we've got 1:30. Any closing thoughts? Who haven't we heard from much? Elliot, what's your closing thoughts on this momentous day?
It's just a waste for Alan White not to be drumming. He's too good. So welcome back, Alan, I'll say.
All right, cool. We'll call it there, boys. How do I finish this off? Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay at home. And don't go partying over Easter. All right?
Okay.
All right. Cheers, everyone. See you later. Hey, stay.